What's going on, folks? Welcome to another episode of By the Way. Let's just mellow out for a second and listen to the stylings of the Deftones while we're at it. Raver! Rave out the line! Never be afraid! Sorry, that was me trying to sing to the Chino Moreno parts of this new Deftones song. Now, yeah, that's right. Like, that's one thing I want to point out. I'll talk about later. That's from their upcoming album, Gore. Again, I will get more into that. But again, welcome to I guess we'll call it the second episode of the third relaunch of By the Way. I'm going to become very self-aware of the fact that this show has been relaunched multiple times just because life and other projects. But like I said, since this is my main show now, this is going to get a much higher priority as far as making sure there's at least an episode a week. It's done in podcast form, so my schedule's not going to be solid as far as when I record it, because sometimes life happens. Like today, I decided to record today. Today meaning Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016, because the reason I'm doing that today as opposed to Saturday was because I figured I would alter the recording schedule for a few weeks. I've got Easter upcoming. I'm not going to record an episode during that weekend. I've got family stuff on Easter. I've got work and probably family stuff on Good Friday. And then I will actually be working a comedy shop show at the Pompton Plains room. So that's going to be Paul Verzi and Joe Bartnick. For those of you who don't know who they are actually the guys who open for Bill Burr whenever Bill Burr does a show in any area. Like, they're the guys that he brings along with him. So it was fun. Last time they were there, it was a really good time. They're all both really cool guys, and I cannot wait to see them again. I'll hopefully be more talkative this time around. That'll be fun. But so basically, I'm altering the recording schedule for a couple weeks. So I'm going to record Tuesdays as opposed to like Saturdays. So that's going to be one thing. I'm going to be honest. Last week is a lot heavier than I'm used to doing as far as content about me. And while this is going to be a very personal show, I put out more than usual, which is why I aptly titled this episode, the last episode, Rip Off the Band-Aid. There was a reason for that. So, I should give a few updates. My sister's still a train wreck. I still haven't scheduled that appointment yet with a doctor, the therapist that I mentioned in the last episode, but it's been one of those weird insurance things. I should point out that I said last week I didn't have a solid one place, but I mean, you know, I do have to point out the places that I'm alternating between, they're a solid emotionally. I should have pointed that out last week. Not that I feel the need to do, there's no reason for saying it. I feel like I didn't portray it as correctly as I wanted to last week. I'm in a much better situation now as far as like my surroundings, my environment. It's so much better than where I've been. So I feel like it's needed. It's very, very needed to just be away from a lot of the stuff that has just pounded me into submission. At this point, I mean, the only thing that's going to really be doing that to me is going to be my job, which, to be honest, I'm working on changing anyway soon. So that might not be as much of an issue as I think at this point. Now, I'm trying to be more positive about things. It's here and there. Sometimes I make a big deal out of things that shouldn't be made a big deal out of, like certain things at my job. Not the job aspect, but certain people that I work with who feel the need to have massively private conversations just blatantly in the break room because they're just gossips. But again, though, that shouldn't be that big of a deal to me. It doesn't affect me at all. I shouldn't really be bothered by it. But for whatever reason, I'm just like, Why is this, I mean, I get it. Their friends are talking at work. So that's, I mean, maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill with that. And I should stop doing that. I really should. There's things that I make a big deal out of that, again, maybe aren't as big of a deal as they are, or maybe it's a situation that I'm misreading. And when that happens, I just need to just kind of step back and look at the bigger picture, which is, if it doesn't affect me, why should I even give it, like, why does it get that much of my attention? Maybe I'm just, at this point, gotten to the point where I've been so jaded by a lot of things that, that things are getting to me more than they should ever. Like, something like that, like with the stuff coworkers say, it shouldn't bother me at all. Not in the very least. Like, it shouldn't just annoy me as much as it is. And it normally wouldn't, which shows that I just need to fix me and get that, you know, get through that and get out of that place. Because, I feel like the actual job itself, and I've said this before, because I've been told, but from some friends, and when I say friends, I mean friends who actually will tell you what you need to hear, and they'll say that my job, I mean, it's not as horrible as a lot of other jobs, and I don't really have to take it home with me, but the thing is, and I've told them this, and my problem with my job is, for what I do not get paid enough to do what I, to take the shit that I have to take, and to take it with a smile. So that's where I'm at. If the compensation were better, like if this were a job where I could have growth in there and it could be like a financially stable job for everything that I'd want to do, like in life and, you know, creatively everything, then I'd be fine with it. I wouldn't care. But I realize that yes, it's paying the bills that I have now, but there's really no long-term gain for it. They don't take me seriously there as a potential option to go up. So, and I know that. I know I'm not being taken seriously because of my comedy, so, or because of the other stuff that... So what do I wind up doing? I wind up not giving a shit and calling in late a lot. So that becomes a thing. And, you know, I've got to get out of there is what I'm saying. Basically, like, that's the general gist of it. That's pretty much the gist of that story there, that part of life. But I'm trying to, I guess, adult up a little bit here and there, I guess we can say. Definitely trying to adult up and just, again, be a better version of myself. And I feel, I don't know, it's weird saying that, because when I say that, it's like you're quoting things, you're saying words, you're saying cliche words, and it feels cliche, and I feel weird saying it, but sometimes that's the route you have to go. And what I'm afraid of is that I'm telling myself this stuff, and like, I just to make myself feel like, yeah, you can do it, but not actually addressing the underlying issue that's causing what needs to be fixed when it's what I should be doing. So that's a recent self-discovery that I've made about that. Now, I said I was going to be light with what I was talking about, and then I started doing a full-scale psychological eval of myself right here for you guys. This show is going to go great. So, now let me skip to the next topic. Maybe I'll get back to that stuff a little later if I have time. But Daredevil season 2 came out on Netflix this past weekend. Yeah. So one thing I'm going to point out a few things. One thing I feel like I must address is the fact that this season, as a whole, I liked season 1 better. I will say that. But holy shit, John Bernthal as the Punisher is by far the best version of the Punisher I have seen on a screen. And I thought Ray Stevenson was the best. I mean, granted, I was a fan of the Dolph Lundgren movie, and then and then the Thomas Jane one came out. And I didn't think Thomas Jane was a bad Punisher. Didn't think he was a very accurate Punisher comically. I didn't think he fit the tone or the character at all. I thought Ray Stevenson fit that pretty well. But, oh my god, this is the second time Daredevil took a character that was previously adapted on movies and made them better. That's what they did. And I love the fact that they did that. And I love the fact that they picked John Bernthal to play the Punisher. Because if they were going with the aspect of a tough event in his life broke him and made him the way he is. No one better than John Bernthal to play that. Think about it. If you watch him as the Punisher, it's very much a more like a more upscale, but like a more like over the top version of what he did as Shane in The Walking Dead. And I think that's really, really fascinating. And he's much more calculated. Shane was like, both came from an emotional place with where they snapped, but like Shane was a redneck cop in the Kentucky area, whereas Frank Castle is just a Marine specialist, like with the ability to, you know, be a like sharpshooter. He does not mess around, and he hits everything with military precision. There's this whole subplot with like a DA who might be twisted in there. So yeah, that was the one thing about that. The other thing too, Elektra was debuted in this one too, and she Elodie Young plays her, and she's actually does a really good job so far from what I've seen as Elektra. Now at this point I'm about 7 episodes in, so I don't know what's gonna happen next. But I can only imagine with the way the season's going, what's in store for everybody else, like the viewer, I should say. So I'm very excited for about to transpire that I haven't seen yet in Daredevil. There's tension in the Nelson and Murdoch court law office at some point. They get to that as the season progresses. I hope they do not mess up the Matt Murdock Karen Page pairing. What scares me is how they're somewhat accurate for the most part as far as the portrayal of the characters from the comic version. I am deathly afraid for the day that they have Karen Page take the turn she takes, and she winds up becoming a train wreck, selling out Matt Murdock's identity as Daredevil, and then it leads to Born Again. But how awesome would a season based on Born Again be? For those who don't know what Born Again is, Born Again was a storyline from the Frank Miller era of Daredevil. It kind of reestablished Daredevil as far as a character is concerned. The shows had the religious overtones that the characters had for a while, but really, Born Again, that was really the first story, and Miller was the first guy to run Daredevil on the comics to really like make that a focal point of the character. Aside from the fact that he was a lawyer and all that. So I think that I like the fact that so part of me is worried because of the damage that gets done to Matt Murdock but holy crap, cannot wait to see it unfold. And one thing I will point out, it's just so good. Like, and here's the thing though, she sells out his identity to Kingpin. Karen Page becomes just this irredeemable train wreck, like I said, and she sells his identity for a hit, like sells identity as Matt Murdock. And Kingpin takes that and gets that information eventually. So she doesn't directly sell it to Kingpin in the comic, so I'm not sure if they'll do it the same way, but she sells it, and it's just a fantastic, like, he just hits him on a personal and professional level, and it's just... it's a spectacular story, and like I said, it's the first one to really delve into the religious aspect of the character. So, I part of me doesn't want that to happen to Karen Page because the way I feel about Matt Murdock and Karen Page in this adaptation of Daredevil is the same way some people feel about Oliver Queen and Felicity in Arrow. I mean, a lot of people hate it, but there are some people who like adore the pairing and just, you know, don't want it to end. Whereas I'm the same way with Matt Murdock and Karen Page. I don't know. There's a lot with that show that's amazing. I mean, it's... yeah. Like I said, it was Frank Miller's first storyline. Holy crap. would it make amazing TV? I mean, the stuff that's done to him now. Now, one thing I do want to point out is, sorry, there is a brain fart there. I apologize for that brain fart. So, yeah, with no further ado, I'm going to change topics because I got distracted there. Now, it's an election year. I will point out. All right, I'm going to stop saying I'm going to point out. But it is an election year. I went pretty political last week. I'm going to continue to go political. I mean, there was a terror attack in Brussels. So now the right-wingers are on the, see, another terror attack. We should not have Muslims in. And that's scary because that means idiots like Donald Trump get more of a following because he's going to say something that's going to strike a chord with these Midwest shitheads that the ones who like live in the middle of nowhere but think that they should be taking policy for the rest of us. Like, oh, no, we're from the heartland. We know what's best for the country. No, you don't. That's what sucks about the heartland. They're the ones who have no actual danger in this situation. And they're the ones who are acting like it's what they say should go. Like, they think, oh, you city folk don't know what you're talking about. No, we're the ones who are actually at risk to get bombed here. All right, us in the Northeast, we're at more of a risk than you. Well, if they go after the crops, they're not going after the crops, stupid. They're not. So, like, I hate the fact they don't have any real viable targets, all right? Where I used to live and where my mother still lives is very close to the biggest weapons manufacturing plant for the United States government, for the Army, I should say. They make experimental weapons there. They produce a lot of the bullets and explosives there. You don't see us, acting the way the Midwest does about who they think should be in office. New Jersey is typically a blue state in spite of that. New York is typically a blue state, and it's the most frequently targeted city in the United States by these terror attacks. And again, you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to blame an entire religion of worth of people for the actions of a few of their people, I should say. Because you know what? If you look back at ancient scripture, every religion has blood on their hands. I'm not going to judge Christians for it. I'm not going to judge Jews for it. I'm not going to judge any religion for it. Everyone's got blood on their hands. Doesn't mean every single person in that religion has blood on their hands, though. The religion does, not the people. Okay? Wait, no, hold on. I mixed that up. I said the individual people have the blood on their hands. Not all Muslims are terrorists. We should know this by now. We're civilized people. We're at least we say we're civilized. But you know what? Here's the problem. How can we say we're a civilized country and call other people like cavemen or, you know, mock them for living in a cave because they're hiding from us the way they run their policy? When Donald Trump has a legitimate shot to become the United States president, how do we even have the balls to say that we're the civilized country here? When one of the biggest shows for a while was a show called Teen Mom. How do we have the gall to call ourselves a civilized country when we've got a section of the country that wears mullets, drinks fatty foods, and says, well, I don't care. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to eat everything that I want. I don't care if it's got bacon grease in it as a filling. I'm going to eat that bacon grease-filled burger. We don't give a shit. And then we try to act like we're a civilized country. We're looked at the same by other countries, the same way a lot of us look at the white trash on Jerry Springer and Maury. That's how the rest of the world looks at us. Again, that's the way we are. We're in this like just era of excess, and which is funny because we're about three decades at this point removed from a previous era of excess, and we haven't learned our lesson. That's one thing I want to point out. And this era of excess and accessibility is distracting us from the fact that we are going to just get screwed over royally. Royally. All right? Because I said I support Bernie Sanders, but I also don't trust the Democratic Party to not screw him over. I do not trust them, not in the least. So that's my issue there. But here's the one thing. One thing that really got to me post these attacks in Brussels. The one thing that I do really, really, really want to call the Republicans out And that one thing that I really want to call them out on is the fact that they like to call out the Democrats on fiscal irresponsibility with a lot of their policies. Here's the thing, though. That would be fine and dandy if you weren't practicing fiscal irresponsibility with the fact that we've been in now a, 15-year war that's been eating up our finances, all right? So here's the thing. Don't call out a side of the political coin for fiscal irresponsibility when you are the paragon of fiscal irresponsibility, all right? We've been spending so much money on military for this war that we shouldn't still be in. This war that has created, all right, the situation that's going on now, all right? Remember, one of your own, until you shuttered him out into retirement and didn't give him his chance, Ron Paul even had a speech about blowback. Most of you scoffed at it. Most of you didn't believe the fact that, hey, you know what? That's crazy, Uncle Ron. He's talking about how we should, you know, the stuff we're doing could cause a negative impact for us in the future. Guess what? Now we have caused that. Because here's the thing. Here's one thing you want to point out. For all your fear of the of people who are Islamic, what you're wanting us to do, which is go to the countries and find these people, that's not how it's being looked at on the other side. That's not how it's being looked at over there. The way it's being looked at is that we're people invading the country. That's what's going on there. And it's the same propaganda for them that's being done here when they say that the Islamic terrorists hate freedom. They don't like freedom at all. That's why they hate us, because we're free. No, actually, it's because we just can't seem to not stick our heads out of their business, all right? And for those of you who are saying, well, we're democratic, we're free, that's why they hate us, read a book or do a Wikipedia search. Iran used to have they used to have a democracy back in the 50s. Did you know that? No, I guess you didn't know that. But if you look at it, we actually led a coup d'etat of a democratically elected government and eventually opened the doors for the Ayatollah. Because that democratic leader didn't agree with us, but just didn't agree with us. He was pretty popular there. So that action right there, blowback, led to a long term of anti-U.S. sentimentality in Iran. So you can blame a religion all you want for what's going on there, but until you look at the history of how things have gone down, we created this mess for ourselves. All right, but you know what? We've been in this mess far too long. It's time to get out and let things settle down. Let it sort itself out. And here's the thing, too. This is a belief of mine. We created this monster that is North Korea threatening us every few years. Because what we wind up doing is North Korea is that kid who throws a tantrum until mommy and daddy gives them money. So we, at this point, have created a dependency. So North Korea now will say, hey, look, I'm testing this weapon, see? Oh, we added a couple of miles to the range of this one. What happens? Nothing happens. We wind up giving them money and goods, like the spoiled little baby they are, and then they're like, oh, okay, we'll not do this, until the next time they need money, and they test out their toys, and then suddenly mommy and daddy has to give money. That's pretty much what North Korea is acting like. And you have these Neanderthals on Fox News trying to tell, see, North Korea's got weapons they're testing. We should go there and go after them. But here's one problem there, guys. That problem being that they're not going to do anything. They're not. It's saber rattling. We are falling for saber rattling because everybody is so afraid at this point. So afraid of the big bad boogeyman called terrorism, that there's no logical thought here. And that's the problem overall. I see it a lot. I see it in a lot of posts from friends on social media. The fear of what could happen that likely is not likely to happen has everybody just chomping at the bit to either increase security and decrease freedoms or increase the fighting over there and thus decrease the money we actually have in the government. So eventually, it could lead to the government being bankrupted. So in fighting the terrorism and spending the money to fight the terrorism, who wins? We don't win. It'll be like Vietnam, except it's actually getting to the point where it's as drawn out as Vietnam. So, eventually we have to get out of there. We've spent enough resources. We've got to build it back up again. And that's also what scares me with the Donald Trump thing, is that he has a real shot. It's kind of like when Reagan ran for office back in the day. And we were just at this point post-Vietnam, and we were sick and tired of the government. So we allowed Ronald Reagan in there, who had an administration who set the groundwork for not caring about the people and caring more about the money they can get from the business. That's set a standard that has etched itself into the fabric of American politics for the last few decades. And now we're, it's rearing its ugly head when the two people who, we'll say three front runners, because Ted Cruz has a chance too, but the three main people, their interests are not in the people. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump can lie as much as they want. Ted Cruz can lie as much as he wants. None of them have the people's interest in mind. Not in the very least. They've all been bought and paid for. And Donald Trump, basically, yeah, he's spending his own money, he's saying, on the campaign, but he's getting donations. He's getting donations from big companies, and that's basically canceling out what he's spending on his campaign. People who just have nothing better to do with their money than to support a knuckle-dragging lunatic, a mouth breather who is only really successful because he was banned from operating his own businesses, and other people came in and they took charge and bailed his bad-haired ass out. That's Donald Trump, guys. If you guys think he's really going to fix the economy, you're delusional. You're the epitome of delusion. And honestly, I can't wait. Like, that's the one thing, if he gets elected, is that if he gets elected, people are going to see really quick how much of a phony that he was. He will go back on every promise he made. You really think he's going to build a wall and spend his own money? What the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you think that? Why would you think he's got your interest in mind? Oh, that's right, because he takes no guff. Again, like I said, people think that he is just like this guy who takes no shit from nobody, off nobody's back, whatever the fuck that means. And you're going to be wrong. You're going to regret it if he wins. And then it's going to be everybody's mess. Thanks, guys. Thanks, buddy. Thank you for ruining the country for the rest of us because you wanted to vote a crazy person. No, it's fine, though. It's fine, though, asshats. Sorry, it gets to me. It really, really gets to me. I don't know why I let it get to me so much. It shouldn't get to me so much, but I let it get to me so much. And I'm sorry, I'm having a moment here. I'm having a moment, like, just ripping Donald Trump a new one. Oh, God, I what is wrong with people? Why are we so, why are people so dumb to think that he's got any of your interests in mind? He doesn't. Donald Trump looks out for one person. That's Donald Trump. And a friend of mine, who Katie, from formerly Brain Stew, showed me a story about something I saw, but kind of like a reaction to it, and that's about the Louis C.K. Thing about Donald Trump. For those who don't know, Louis C.K. made a very thoughtful message about Donald Trump, and really just saying to look him up. Just look up what he's saying. Not just listen to one side or the other. Just look up, do an hour of research about Donald Trump. And granted, he made Hitler comparisons, but the way he went about it wasn't that, is the same way that we are, the same way we're reacting about Trump is the same way people did about Hitler. That's the parallel he made, which, of course, Republicans will take as, they're comparing him to Hitler. They're comparing him to Hitler, guys. Again, that's political infancy. If you don't know the politics, just compare the guy to Hitler. No, there's parallels. There's a few parallels here and there. I mean, is he going to kill 6 million minorities? And if he's elected? No, I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he's racist in that way, but, I take it the... He's the elitisty kind. He just is the... And of course, there's going to be a couple of people who are like, no, see, I'm the one person he actually was good to, and, I'm going to parade myself out there to make him and his bad hair look good. I'm rambling at this point because I just can't stand Donald Trump as a human being or as a candidate. So I'm going to move on, all right? I talked about music earlier, or last week, I should say. I gave my review... of the next Killswitch Engage, the latest Killswitch Engage album, and I liked it. There's actually a couple other albums coming out soon that I'm looking forward to as well. There's the new Deftones album. That's going to be fun. Gore, it's called. And there's a new Caliban album coming out. I want to get into this. There's a new song by the band A Day to Remember called Paranoia. And the thing with that song that actually got out into the metalcore or metal and hardcore scene is the fact that that song sounds very, very much like a song by the band Stick to Your Guns. We'll do this. I'll play a little bit from each song. How about that? All right. So I'll play Paranoia first, and then I'll play the song from Stick to Your Guns. So here's Paranoia, the song, not the actual condition. All right, guys, don't get paranoid, homie. You know, don't do it. Don't let it happen. All right, so this is Paranoia by A Day to Remember. Just listen to it for a second. All right, so that's the A Day to Remember song. Now let's find the Stick to Your Guns song, shall we? That's a good idea. Let's find that here. I'm sorry, I've got a lot of music on here. You're gonna have to give me a second. But let's see, Stick to Your Guns. Here we go. And I'm sorry, guys. I should have had this up. I thought I was gonna just talk about the two albums I was looking forward to, but then I saw on my iTunes this Paranoia single, and now we're doing this. So, yeah. You see, my computer sucks, I want to point out. So, you're going to take time for new things. But here's What Choice Did You Give Us by Stick to Your Guns. So, really, the songs are very similar. They're both, like, especially the opening part. I mean, granted, there's a different tone after that intro part on each one, but they're pretty similar. I get where the what to do is coming from. But here's the thing. I kind of like how Stick to Your Guns reacted to it on Twitter, because people did ask him about it. Let me find it. It was a good response. I like how they went about it. Let's see. Is it? Sorry, guys. Bear with me. I'm actually looking for the tweet, but it's actually again. I like the tweet that they made, because they could have had a very good opportunity to just be like, "Fuck these guys." They did our song. They borrowed from our song. They could have had just the biggest opportunity to do so, and they chose not to. So someone messaged them saying, let's see, let me find the original message. How does it feel to lay the foundation for A Day to Remember's new song? Thoughts? So the first thing they put was like a gif of Chris Farley with a shocked face, like lifting up his sunglasses. I forget which movie, but from one of his movies. And then they go, for real though, no weird feelings or anything. We're probably more than guilty of borrowing a Hatebreed trick or two. So they get it. It's hard to be completely original, in that. So that I like the fact they did that. I like the fact they went there with that, because they're a hardcore band. But let's face it, most hardcore bands are very, very guilty of borrowing from Hatebreed or borrowing from other like certain influences, like Madball, for example. And that's one thing people forget, is that no band is actually truly original with this stuff. It's very hard to be 100% original in music, because there's been a lot of bands that have done what they're doing now. So, sorry, I'm like is sitting on the floor as I record this, so I'm getting up as I'm. So if you hear the microphone moving around or anything, that's why. But like, that's the thing though. With no band is ever truly original. No band is ever truly original. So that's the thing. So people like make a what to do of this band's copying this band. The bands are really, for the most part, don't give a shit unless it's like just blatant like plagiarism. Like if they took like the entire lyrical content of their song and were like, yeah, no, that's ours right there. I mean, it's you should at least call it a cover. No, this they kind of didn't care, which I like. It's refreshing, is what I'm saying there. What else did I want to get into? Wow, I'm batting 1,000 tonight, guys. So, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna talk about some just stuff I've got in the future after I take a shot of water. So what I've got going on in the future is I got a lot of stuff I want to work on. I mean, this is more career / creativity wise, and like goals that have shifted. I mean, I'm still gonna focus on comedy somewhat. It's gonna be a big importance to me. Like it's part of me. It's part of my identity. I'm not gonna be the delusional guy who thinks I'm gonna make it and be a superstar. No, I'll probably be like a local headliner at best. But I still want to like put in the time to get better at it and just be much better at comedy and see where it goes. But I do want to focus on other things too. Things that will pay well and well enough for me to be able to have a life, but also still be able to do this stuff. So, like I said, I've been looking into coding. I've been looking into other stuff too, just trying to get something and trying to get that ball rolling. It takes work and prep. Once I finally fix the computer situation, that fixing will be a lot easier. I will say that. But yeah, once that's fixed, then I will be good to go, and I will just be amazing. But again, it's not just career work that needs to be done on me. There's a lot, and that's just part of it. I know that, and I recognize that, so I'm kind of taking it one step at a time. So, you know, but, I mean, I still do have plans to make a web channel with Ariel and Cornax of Planet of the Dorks, which is formerly the Nerd Hour. I'm so glad we changed that name. I want to be honest, I'm very happy we changed that name. When we start doing episodes, it'll be even better, but I'm so happy we changed that name. Holy, like, and it's my fault. I made up the name, and it became a thing for a while, but, yeah, it's a better name, Planet of the Dorks. When that comes out, it'll be great when we bring that back. I don't know. There's a lot that I have on my plate, there's a lot that's going to go into it. So those are projects that I didn't get a chance to mention before. Just that's why I wanted to point those out because I didn't last week. But there's a lot, and there's gonna be a lot going into it. And yeah, I did want to do film school, and it's still like on my, but it's like I was gonna go to like a 1-year film school program, but then I decided against it, and now I'm just like I want to find a $500 school to learn it, so I can learn it and do it. And that would be nice, right? It would be like really nice to do that for me. It would be. I mean, it would be ideal, is what I'm saying. So, but again, I've got to like not a fallback plan, but I've got to get a career going. Not one that's a almost $14 an hour job where I take shit from people and have to do it with a smile. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to deal with customers because they're too invested emotionally into it. They get irrational. I want to do something like technical. That's why coding and film are two things that just kind of speak to me a bit. Because with that, I can work on my own. I'm my own boss pretty much. So that and that's what I like about comedy is like I'm my own incorporation. I'm Mike Falcone Incorporated. Right now, Mike Falcone Incorporated is probably in the red, but. It's a corporation technically all of its own. So, yeah, I want to do something more with myself is what I'm saying. Because I could be up here and I'm putting my hand up pretty high, but I'm like down here. And that needs to be rectified like quickly. Otherwise, it's going to drive me nuts. So, there's that. Now, one thing I want to get into as well, entertainment-wise, I should have talked about this earlier, but I'm actually pretty hyped up for the Superman Batman movie that comes out this week. I'm not going to see it right away. Like, I'll probably see it like next weekend when it's not a holiday weekend. But it looks like, you know, everyone was shitting on the movie when all the hype was going on, when like when Ben Affleck was cast as Batman. Everyone's like, oh God, he's going to screw it up. Like, he screwed up Daredevil, which, by the way, wasn't his fault. Can we stop blaming Ben Affleck for Daredevil? Can we do that? It was not his fault. He took the role. He played the character. But he's come into his own as a director and an actor. And and from all I've heard, he's going to crush it as Batman. And then guess what he gets to do, guys? He gets to make his own Batman movie and direct it. All right, how could you imagine as a kid growing up being like, you know what? I want to play Batman, but I want to also be the one calling the shots when I'm playing Batman. How awesome would that be? Like, it'd be like if Christopher Nolan were able to play Bruce Wayne and Batman and was like, you know what? I'm going to do both. I'm going to play Batman and play Bruce Wayne. He, in a heartbeat. Like, again, if I were directing and I could act, I mean, listen, one of them is not far off from ever happening, but, and that's not the acting part. If that were the case, I would jump at the opportunity to play Batman and direct it. I would. Like, who wouldn't? It'd be crazy to. I'll give Ben Affleck credit. But, you know, like, one thing I should say, Ben Affleck is going to redeem himself in comic movies this year, similar to how Ryan Reynolds redeemed himself for comic book movies, because he had to play a shitty incarnation of Deadpool in the Wolverine movie. He had to play Green Lantern in a movie that just bombed miserably. He was in the third Blade movie, which wasn't as well received as the other two. And then he had to, you know, do RIPD. So, well, all right, granted, he chose those roles. But still, I'm not going to give him full blame for it. I mean, it wasn't completely his fault. Sorry, I needed water. That's an essential human need. But yeah, no, this is going to be the movie where Ben Affleck, as far as comic movies goes, redeems himself. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch. And we'll all just be like, oh my God, why did he do that? How could he be this good in Daredevil? Oh, that's right, because Fox made a bad script and it took Marvel getting the rights back for Daredevil to make an awesome TV show about it. Oh God, could you imagine, by the way, what would happen had they not gotten the rights back to Daredevil and The Punisher? Look at how, like, other studios had ruined Daredevil and The Punisher. And now Marvel's like, we got both of them back. We're going to put The Punisher in season 2 of Daredevil. It's going to be fantastic. He's going to be played by Shane from The Walking Dead. You'll love it. We're going to have, I'll still have the new Blood Girl, like the hot one with the red hair. She'll be in there as well. Deborah Ann Woll as Karen Page. And then you're just like, fuck. This show's really, oh, and one of the dudes from The Mighty Ducks, you know, the Enforcer, whatever his name was. He's in there too. Fulton. Yeah, Fulton. He's in there playing Foggy Nelson. All right, how awesome is that? Like, it's great. Oh, and Private Pyle playing Kingpin. And yeah, no, it I feel like I'm going back to hyping that, but really, again, back to the main thing, Superman Batman is going to be the resurrection of Ben Affleck's superhero acting career. I think it's going to be a better movie than expected. I think a lot of people just wanted to shit on it because it's not Marvel. And everyone thinks, well, if it's not Marvel, it's going to suck. But I've got faith in this movie. I've got a lot of faith in it. It's going to be a crazy spectacle. And Wonder Woman's in it. So we'll get to see how she does as Wonder Woman. The first reactions so far to this movie have been pretty positive from what I've heard. Like, the initial reactions have been pretty good. I'm going to do the Rotten Tomatoes check on there, actually, because I'm sure they've had the initial react. All right, you know what? I'll point this out. Here's how I know how good a movie's going to be. Oh, all right. They might not have had the reviews yet, but... oh, man. So the movie's coming out. Batman vs. Superman, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Get a Job. My Big Fat Greek Wedding is the only one that has had enough ratings to get a tomato meter score. And it's presently at 25%. All right. Wow. Sorry, Greeks, but that's not a good look at all. I mean, all Superman, Batman, I mean, I don't know. It worries me a little bit. There's no reviews for it yet. But with big movies like that, there typically will be a bit of a embargo until... But I don't know. I'm even just worried from when they did it for Green Lantern and it wound up being a stinker. That might be why I'm a little worried there. But you never know. It could be misplaced paranoia. It very well could be. But again, I'm not gonna I'm not going to complain, not going to worry. I'm just going to think it's going to be awesome. And then I won't be able to contain myself when I hear people like eating crow because they didn't want to give this movie a chance because of certain casting choices. When you're like, all right, well, they're good actors. You can at least say, well, they're good actors. You know, they're that could be the case, you know. But no one wants to admit that. They're stubborn. So it'll be good to see them eat crow is what I'm saying. Now, another thing about my hype, this movie, is like it's them taking the steps to make a Justice League movie, and that means a new Green Lantern movie, which will supposedly be about the Green Lantern Corps, which will be fantastic. And I'm hoping it's all four Earth Lanterns. I want to see not just Hal Jordan, but Guy Gardner, John Stewart, Kyle Rayner, all in there. I'm sure they'll throw in like Simon Baz in there somewhere, and then bring him in a future movie. But it'd be awesome. Or at least do like Hal Jordan as the Green Lantern in Justice League, but then have one that fleshes out the other guys as well. That would be awesome. That would be spectacular. All right, I'm nerding out a bit here. I'm gonna take it to a more serious subject matter here. I've got Easter coming up, and that's gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be cool. It's the non-Orthodox Easter. I call it the unorthodox Easter when I talk to like Orthodox friends of mine. Who like celebrated on when like it supposedly actually like when it according to scripture actually happened. So I call mine unorthodox Easter. So that's this weekend. Here's one thing though with that. Well, I mean, so unorthodox Easter happens, and then I mean we're doing a family thing. My mom got a reservation to a diner. She likes diners. That's how it is. And, I mean, with the budget she has lately, with the stuff going on in her life, I get it. Diner's better than paying for a large meal for that only two or three people will show up to. So, I guess she figures she'd be spending the money on, you know, either way. It's good for me because I get to have, like, an awesome, like, three-course meal on Easter Sunday at a diner. So, and it's usually, you know, hang out with my mom's friend and, you know, his son. So my mom and her boyfriend's friend, I should say, and their son. But it's, you know what it is? Holidays are awkward now. Because before, 4 years ago, Easter used to be, all right, going to go to my grandfather's house, and it's going to be Easter. Oh, you know, everybody's going to be there. My sister's not a shithead at this point. Like, she's, you know, well, no, she was before then, but, you know, she wasn't being weird like she is. You know, like, my niece is still in the picture. Things are a little more normal than they usually are, than they have been, like, in the last few years. And that's what makes the holidays weird for me, is that, like, it's going to be a holiday. I'm going to be with family. It's, you know, we're close and that. But at the same time, it's going to be a little bit of a reminder of just how awkward this is and how awkward it is now that certain key members of said family are not here, or they've just become train wrecks and are in jail or whatever. So that's where it gets me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. Like, I'm, you know, like, I know friends who have lost parents or lost grandparents who are just like, fuck, another holiday without so-and-so. I mean, in this case, it's three people that we could. Granted, one of them I've always had a contentious relationship with, which I mentioned last week, but it is a weird feeling for everybody involved. Yeah, and, you know, if you guys have any, like, weird holiday stories, by the way, feel free to hashtag by the way and then message Hipster Punchy, like, you know, direct comment or mention, as you say, Hipster Punchy at Hipster Punchy on Twitter with that, and I'll read it next week or next show. So, yeah, there's something to see who's actually listening. Yeah. Ah, interaction would be nice. So, all right. I've saved the, I don't know what we say best for last as far as the actual topics I scripted before I start babbling for a few minutes to kill time. The Walking Dead. Now, I'm going to point out, for those of you who are not up to date on the TV show or the comic book, I'm going to implore you, I'm going to give you the next few seconds to decide whether you want to actually listen or not, because there will be spoilers. There will be spoilers of both the TV show and comic, which could lead to potential spoilers for TV show. And if you're still catching up with the comic, possibly the comic as well. So, if you're hearing this warning and you don't want to be spoiled, skip to the end. If you're still listening and you haven't, and you don't know what's happened this week or what's about or what hasn't happened yet, you know, what's happened yet or what could happen soon, I implore you, if you do not, to skip. But if you do not skip, you take full responsibility for what you're about to hear. So I do not want to hear anything from you saying, "Oh, what a dick. Why did you spoil The Walking Dead? I gave you a warning." I gave you a warning of a minute of me talking about how I'm about to spoil things. So I, again, do not want to hear it. Now, for those of you who watched the show, and you'll know what happened, Denise was killed in this episode of The Walking Dead, which is a little earlier than she was killed in the comics. She was actually, you know, she lasted a little longer. But, yeah, so what happened was there were two supply runs. There was Abraham and Eugene, which made me think Abraham was going to be the one being killed, because Abraham, like, in this part of the storyline, Abraham is the one who's killed during this supply run. Basically, what happened is Eugene brought him to this factory that he found, and so that his idea, knowing that eventually the guns are going to run out of bullets, is, hey, I'm going to make a place to manufacture bullets, which is a phenomenal idea. It is a great idea. And again, I can't believe nobody else thought of it before then. So, you know, Eugene actually at that point tells Abraham that his services are no longer required, and that leads to Abraham saying, "All right, well, I'm going home because you said they weren't required anymore." Now, now in the meantime, Denise wants some supplies and takes Daryl and Rosita with her as her backup. She did it for her own reasons. Daryl, she just trusts, and Rosita, she was like, Rosita is probably feeling alone, and, you know, bring her out to distract her from what happened, which was a week ago when Abraham left her. Now, you know, they do their supply run, they go back, they yell at her, Denise, because she did something stupid, which was try to get a cooler in there. She wanted to get a soda for Tara, her girlfriend, from there. That was the whole, like, that was important to her. So they yelled at her about it, and then she was doing this whole monologue, and then suddenly she gets a arrow from a crossbow through the back of her head, through her eye, which is the exact same way Abraham dies in the comic. So this means that Abraham lives further in the show than he does in the comic, which actually happens. What it also means is that they're, like, pretty much showing us, hey, we're going the similar route to what the comic is as far as story structure goes, but we're not following it to such a T that you're going to know who's going to go. Now, does that mean that the season finale, when Negan debuts, that it's going to be different? It could be. I mean, is there a chance that Glenn is still killed as he was in issue 100? Absolutely. But is there a chance that somebody else, maybe Abraham, maybe Daryl, maybe someone, you know, we're not expecting gets killed? Absolutely. Like, that, they had followed the comics so closely to this point that we weren't sure what was going to happen. Like, we were pretty sure what was going to happen until this moment. And that was the writer saying, yeah, if you think you know what's going to happen when Negan premieres, you have no fucking clue what's about to happen. And one thing I'm hoping happens, though, when Negan debuts, is that he does his eeny, meeny, miny, mo approach for picking his first victim. For those who don't know, in issue 100, when Negan debuts, he's basically telling Rick and his crew, "Well, you guys killed some of my men, so I brought some of mine, to kill one of yours as kind of revenge, and you killed a few more of mine. Now I'm gonna kill another one of yours as an example." So in a great, well-written sequence by Robert Kirkman, he's going through every single person in that group, and he's like, "Well, I can't kill this one because," and it's almost as if it's Robert Kirkman saying why he's having a hard time picking which one to kill, because he doesn't know. Like, he knows there's going to be a reason why he can't kill this person. Like, for example, Carl. Like, it's basically, I can't end your story too quickly. For Michonne and Glenn, it's like the minority thing. Like, oh, I can't kill a minority. Rick, it's, oh, if I kill him, he's been through shit already. He'll basically become a martyr. And I don't know why that played, but so he'll basically be a martyr. And then you know, that it'll make them just look at him in even an even greater light than he thinks Rick should be looked at in. So, you know, and it's, and he eventually, the best part is, his way of deciding is that he turns into a game of eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and then eventually picks Glenn. And I, like, I can't wait, because I know Jeffrey Dean Morgan is going to play a great Negan. And I'm debating just not watching WrestleMania Live to watch this, because it's Negan, all right? Most you don't know, like, he is the best villain on The Walking Dead by far. Because he, again, people compared him to the Governor for a while. They did. But here's one difference. The Governor was a crazy person in power, made crazier by what's going on. Negan is not crazy. He's not a lunatic. He's not unhinged. He's actually very well thought out with his approaches. He wasn't the Governor who's like, let's go attack and just kill people and take it. No, he's very calculated. He thinks what he's doing is right. That's the scary part about Negan. He's a perfectly sane guy who, he's like the brutal dictator who thinks what he's doing is the right choice and the right way to go about it. That's what makes him a million times more interesting to me than the Governor. Plus, in the comics, he's got quite the sense of humor, and he curses quite a bit. But it's not like, it's overdone, but to the point where it's like endearing for a bad guy. So it's just, he's such a great character, and they picked such a great actor to play him. I think actually Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the first like really well-known actor to be cast in The Walking Dead. Because for the most part, it was people who were known, but not too known. So they weren't like the most famous person, people on the show were Michael Rooker and Norman Reedus before Jeffrey Dean Morgan was cast. So it's going to be different. It's going to be very, very different. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm vastly looking forward to just seeing Negan on our TV screens. So, yeah, I mean, got a couple minutes left here, though. I'm going to get in The Walking Dead talk here. Again, I want to point out I've got some shows coming up. Holy shit, I didn't even get to talk about my comedy stuff, or, you know, like, in depth, I should say. But since I'm going to be ending this show soon, like, for the week, I should probably plug my shows, right? That'd be a good idea. So, on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, I get it, but it's also Joe Conte's birthday. And you know what Joe Conte's doing for his birthday? Joe Conte is going to be performing at the Courtyard Marriott in Mount Arlington, New Jersey. And, and guess what, guys? I somehow managed to get on that show as the host. So, that's right. I'm going to be hosting. The feature is going to be Johnny O. And for those of you who in the MLR group, that he actually was part of the MLR live show. And Joe Conte will be closing it out. There's going to be a lot of, like, comedy friends of mine there because it's Conte's birthday. And I'm hosting. So, I'm nervous, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a lively crowd. It's a hometown show for me, too. So, like, I'm trying to push that aspect as well, trying to get people I know, like, to go. Even MLR people are going. I know, like, Dennis and Rose are going. I know Robin, listener of the show, is going. Who else is going? I'm not sure, but it's going to be a fun show. I'm even trying to get my mom to go to that. I might try even harder. Like, hey, Mom, just go to the show. it's gonna be great. But now... And I have another show the day after. That's right. You know what's weird? I'm doing 2 weekend shows. That rarely happens for me. But I'm also going to be doing a show the next day at the Cabana Grill. Now, the Cabana Grill is like a pretty good Cuban place. It's called a Dave and Annie production. It's by Dave Durkin and Annie Weiss. Every month or so, they do what they call 8-minute dating show. It's not an 8-minute dating thing. What it is, the theme is that it's a male and female comic do 8 minutes on stage together, and they do whatever. They do either like their own material, improv, whatever they feel like doing. It's going to be a fun show. The one thing I'm nervous about is the fact that I don't know who I'm going to go up there with. And I know the people on the show, but I only know a couple of them well enough for it to not be a train wreck. So if you want to see me train wrecky, that's a very, very, very good possibility that happens there. But I've heard it's a fun show as well. So you never know. It could be awesome. Could be a nice weekend. And a comic invited me to watch him perform. I'm like, yeah. The thing is, though, that's WrestleMania and the Walking Dead season finale. So, yep, that's not going to happen. Anyway, so I'd like to thank you people for going on this journey with me. So it's going to be another episode of, by the way, at Hipster Punchy on the Twitters. And I'll be back next week. Peace. Old man sits at his desk,
1 year from retirement, and he's up for review. He's not quite sure what to do. Each passing year, the workload grows. I'm always wishing to lay.